If we would turn to 1 Corinthians 4. Today we're going to be talking about, this week and next week, we're going to get really involved in the Christmas message, which you know I never preach on. Very rarely. Because I'm not going to be stuck in a tradition of the church. Today we're going to be talking about the need for spiritual fathers and mothers in the church. And the need for you to take advantage of your spiritual mother and father, so to speak. 1 Corinthians 4, 14 and through 16 says, I'm not writing you this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. Most people have a very rudimentary and parochial type of mindset about the church and the pastor and stuff. And for us, we are advancing the kingdom of God, and the end time church has to understand what God has put in your midst. Last week we talked about how God uses trials and tribulations in our lives to grow us up, to make us mature. And just because you get older does not make you mature. Okay? Just because you have a lot of Bible information does not make you mature. It all has to deal with working with the Holy Spirit and pouring your life into the gospel and having the gospel poured into you. And part of that is understanding that Irene and I, whether you can understand it or not, are your spiritual parents, spiritual mothers and fathers. We're not just pastor and pastorette. We're here to impart life into you, and those who take advantage of that relationship are the benefactors of it. And they grow exponentially to the relationship that they have developed in us. We have to understand also that God has, through Ephesians 4, given gifts unto men, given gifts unto the church. And who could tell me what those gifts are? Nobody can tell me? Daniel? It is true. That's what the Word of God says. I'm a gift to you. Irene is a gift to you. If you don't receive the gift and don't utilize the gift, you're not our kids. You're not our spiritual children. It just works out to that simplicity. And today what I want you to understand is that there is a process that you will have to go through in order to grow up into the things of Jesus Christ, because later on in that scripture in Ephesians 4 through 17, it says, my job is to train you for the works of the ministry so that you can do the work of the ministry for what purpose? To building up the body of Christ until we come to the full stature and maturity in Him. Correct? And that's what the trials and tribulations are. We don't leave people orphaned because they're going through a trial and tribulation. We walk with them. And part of that reasoning is that's what pastors are given for, is for the sake of the flock. And it's kind of funny because we've had this discussion many times, Gary and I, about the roles of Fivefold and the roles that I have and where we're going and planting vision into his heart so he can understand succinctly what God is giving to us. And he's not giving us a church like the Catholic Church, and he's not giving us a church that's going to be like the Protestant Church. He's giving to us a pattern of a church that is like the first church, an apostolic church, which is filled with power and authority, and that is given to you. That is who you are. And so what we're going to do in these next 2 weeks is talk about spiritual mothers and fathers. We're going to talk about traps of sons and daughters that Satan lays out. And I want you to really think about your relationship to God, to me, to your earthly fathers. And understand that the whole thing here is so that you live victoriously over these trials and tribulations. And many times I hear everybody going, whoa, you know, you don't understand, Pastor, I'm going through this thing. That's right, you are going through this. But you're not going through it by yourself. You're going through this so that you can learn a spiritual lesson. And what we do is we stay focused on the physical, and we don't understand that it is a spiritual lesson for our spirits to learn. And I'll give you a little idea as to what's going on, because if you do not adopt or have not been adopted as a spiritual son or daughter, you need to make that connection. The reason for it is we've had tremendous poor examples of fathers and mothers, and it's reflective in the condition, the spiritual condition of this nation, of which the church is responsible for the spiritual condition of this nation. Like thousands of other people before me, I had a minimal relationship with my father. He was always working. He always did things that to make provision. But that was not the end of his responsibility to me. That was only the beginning of which, you know, some of us think that you know, we're doing a good job. We're providing for our families. You know, we're working every day. You're not going to get a medal from me. That's your job. That's what you're supposed to be doing, just like everybody else. And the problem is that's what my father thought about. He thought about, you know, I provided for you, your needs were met, you went to school, you became educated, and then the rest was yours after you graduated from high school. In spiritual realms, I had the same similar relationship with a spiritual father. Did not or could not provide the needs that I had for my spiritual life in such a way that they were incapable of meeting those needs. Not that they didn't want it, and not that I didn't want it. It was just that they didn't understand for themselves how they were supposed to work in the lives of my life. Fortunately for you, I have learned those lessons, and I have been taught by the Holy Spirit what my job is to help you become equipped to be all that you can possibly be for Jesus. And the first thing in understanding is you are a supernatural spiritual being. That is the first foremost conclusion that you must understand. And because you are a spiritual person, you need a spiritual mother and you need a spiritual father. And today what we see in the church is there are no men or very little men. Streams is really the oddity of this, because we have a good ratio of men and women, because that's what the church is supposed to be. And we don't want to minimize what single moms or single dads are doing, but to raise a child, to bring a child in an atmosphere that is balanced, is to have both a mother and a father. My mother died when I was 16 years of age, and so I was raised by a father who really didn't care. All he wanted to know was how old I was and when I was moving out of the house. Think about what's going on in your life. Think about your relationship to your parents. Think about and look about at churches and see who's attending and who's not. And you would find that the body of Christ is primarily made up of women. Men are absent not only in their families' lives, they're absent in the church life. And I ask the questions as to why. Because the spiritual conditions of it is men don't believe that they need a spiritual father. They really do. They need somebody who's going to be there through thick and thin. And this brings us to a place to understand that in my search to be the best spiritual father for you guys, I attended many, many seminars, many books that I buy and read, many tapes that I listen to, many seminars I went to, all with the objective, the side objective, is that I could get with the man of God and spend a little bit of time with him and glean from him. And sometimes I think about how effective I could have been if this person took an interest in the call of God for my life. You see, the call of God in your life is that important. It's God's call on your life. You came and called to him and said, save me. He saved you and he gave you a job. He gave you a call that nobody else can do. And that's what a father does, is help encourage and bring forth that gifting that God has put into you so that you can do the call of God to expand his kingdom, to build the church, to do the things that God has ordained from the foundations for you and me. It's not by accident that we're here at this point in time. It's not by accident that you're hearing this message. And it may be for the first time you've heard about, you know, a spiritual father or a spiritual mother. You're just pastor. No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm much, much more than that. And you have to begin to understand this. Well, I just want to have a relationship with you. Well, you know what? You can have a relationship with me, but what are you doing with your life? My whole purpose to be pastor is so that you fulfill the purpose of for your life in Jesus Christ. And if you don't see the importance of having a spiritual father or a spiritual mother in your life, the trials and tribulations that you will go through, you will have no one to glean from that has experienced either something very similar or the exact same thing. I was listening to a little bit of what the ladies were talking about, and I get blessed every time I hear about what's going on. And what was so cool was they came from all different kinds of walks yesterday, but they were sharing similarities of their life. Because they're women. And I don't mean that to be derogatory. What I'm saying is that their life experiences can help build each other. But they still need a father that's going to bring a balance. And in order for God's children, you are His children, you're not mine. You are His children. You are in need of balance in your life. If you think, well, I got all the truth, I got the word and all, it's me and Jesus. Well, you've missed it. You've missed it. It's about relationship and rightly relating to God. God is directing us to become an apostolic church. And it's that important that you understand that He's giving you a gift. That gift comes in this package, Irene and me. You don't just get Irene, and you don't just get me. You get both of us. Okay. There's one that's lived with us and continues to live with us. At the expense of her husband. But they take advantage of that relationship. And so as we flow in this, you know, what we don't need is a bunch of teachers teaching a whole bunch of stuff. What we need is people who have a heart for God's people, who have a father's heart, who wants to see the children arise and be much, much more than they could ever think, because that's who our father is. Our earthly fathers have done the best they possibly could in what they know. And some of it is really poor, because that person is a reflection of who God is. And we based our relationships based on our relationship with our parents, our natural parents, and we say, if God is like that, I don't want it. That's why so many people are missing in the church. Because they equate one with the other. And God is far more than that. He is far better than that. Let's take a look at our society. We see fathers abandoning their wives, abandoning their children, and abandoning their responsibilities. Men are looking for mothers to take care of them, to live a reckless life of abandonment while sowing seeds of sin into the next generation. They create children of which they don't take care of, and they expect someone else to raise them and take care of them. That's our society. And our government is promoting that. And when a child, when a woman becomes pregnant with a child, the government says, we can make that child becomes a problem. We can make that problem go away. We can abort the child. And that's why annually we have 1.3 million aborted births in this country. And God is judging this nation. It is our job, my job, to tell you the truth about what's going on even at this moment. And it's very hard for me to keep this up. Morally, as a nation and as a church, we are bankrupt. Because where is the holiness of God? Where is the fear of God in the church? A lot of the people, and you've heard me say this, you can't tell the saints from the ain'ts anymore. Because the saints are doing the same thing as the world. Because, after all, everybody's doing it. We have been called out of that nonsense into His marvelous light. We have been called to be a people, a holy people, a royal nation. You are kings and priests of the Most High God. And you are not destined for destruction. God has earmarked for you to have an inheritance and have great things. And because this generation is so bad, and because needs are not being met, the next generation, should the Lord tarry, will have even greater difficulties in understanding what's going on. Single moms are doing a great job, but you know what? They need a man in the house. They need a husband. And what happens is because the relationship with the father, their father is not good, they give themselves to lower their standards so that when someone says, I love you, they fall into a relationship that is morally empty and bankrupt. 1,500 men of God are leaving the ministry every month. Every month. Pastors, prophets, apostles, evangelists, teachers are leaving the ministry. Why? Because they're abandoning the church at a time that they need to stay in it. These are warriors of the Most High God that are giving up, and it's understandable. Many a time I've wanted to call it quits, and the Lord would just prick my heart. I've wanted to call it quits. I've seen things that's been done, and I just shake my head, and it's like, why are people doing this stuff? Why are they living less than what God has called into their lives? You see, what we have been taught as a people is when it gets tough, it's time to cut and run, and we abandon. We're looking out for number one, myself, and we fail to realize that what we're doing is we're leaving a trail of death and destruction behind us because we're cutting and running. We may be in a relationship that has not fulfilled the desires that we have set forth. And it's sad because most guys have checked out of those relationships. And because they've checked out of those relationships, women are in relationships that are filled with lovelessness, filled with unfulfilled expectations, felt like they've been abandoned, felt like their security has been ripped out from them, and they're floundering like a ship in a storm with the mast ripped off, and they don't know where they're going, don't know where they're going to end up. And it's the man's responsibility. It's his fault. And the fault of the church fathers not being able to convey the importance of this. And it all comes back to parenting, spiritual parenting. And because we have a lack of acceptance and a lack of understanding, there is a tendency for the children to abuse their parents. And we see this. Kids abandoning their parents. Kids abusing physically, verbally, emotionally, abusing their parents. And these are Christians. The abuse further goes on to the man of God. They abuse the man of God by telling him sweet nothings, which comes out in a way that seemingly is, there is a callousness and a coldness that is directed to an individual. And the individual doesn't see that they have perpetuated an abuse system. They've abused their personal lives, and now they're abusing their spiritual lives. And what's the pastor to do? The pastor has to defend himself. And so they've not recognized that this insensitivity towards that individual is not meant to hurt that person. It's meant to be a defensiveness so that they don't sample more abuse. How many of us have abused our spouses verbally, emotionally, or whatever, and we expect them to love us? How much more so in the Church of Jesus Christ? What we have done is we've taken our personal lives and brought it to here, and we have abused a man and woman of God to the point that our hearts break. Because the children don't understand, nor do they want to understand their role, their important role in the church today. Let me give you some societal facts, and this is from 206, of what the lack of having true spiritual fathers or mothers in a household. There were 12.9 million single family households in America in 2006. It's worse now. The numbers have not decreased. They have gone up. 10.4 million of them were single mother homes, taking care of the children and doing the things that they needed. The father was not there. 2.5 million were single father homes where the mother left for whatever reason. 67% of the 73.7 million kids under the age of 18 only lived with two parents. That's 33% of all households in America was made up of a single mom or a single dad. Government has perpetuated this because in the Great Society of the 60s, what they said was, you know, we can help women raise their kids. If the father stays out of the house, we'll give you welfare, we'll give you everything that you need. And what that did was continue the perpetuation of the destruction of the family. Black or white, it doesn't matter. Government has no place in telling the church what it needs to do. The church has every place to tell government what it needs to do. And government is overstepping in our lives and in the lives of the church. And because there's no men, who do you think is going to take care of this stuff? Those who lived under a single parenthood have five times more likely to commit suicide. They are 32 more times likely to run away from a single parent household. 14 more times for boys to commit rape. 20 more times to end up in jail. And the Bible calls this lawlessness. And it's getting worse. It's getting darker out there. You just take a ride through Camden. You take a ride through some of the inner city areas of Philadelphia and tell me if it's getting better. Crime rate is shooting up, and I don't care what this government tells you. It's lying to you. Unemployment is twice the amount of what it's telling you right now. It's lying to you. And what they do is they fix the numbers and change the equation so that the numbers are palatable to a people who are ignorant and don't know what's going on nor recognizes what's going on. But there's hope in Jesus Christ. There's hope in the Church of Jesus Christ today. And you are that hope. Turn to Malachi 4. And see what the Lord God says. Because you guys are the answer. Malachi 4, starting in verse 1. It's the last book of the Old Testament. So the Lord says, "Surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and evil doers will be like stubble. And that day that is coming will be set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. They will be like ashes under the soles of your feet on that day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of your servant Moses and the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all of Israel. And I will set you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. That's exactly what God's doing to this nation right now. I don't care. You could call me crazy, but this is the word of the Lord. He's burning this nation because we have turned our backs upon Him. We're still doing our own things, and we're not paying attention to what's going on. He will hold us responsible for the condition of this nation, and He does. It is your responsibility and my responsibility to fight anti-God laws and natures and stuff like that. It is the spirit of Antichrist that is running rampant throughout this nation. And we're just sitting in our pews wondering what's going to happen. Who's going to be the next best thing? Who's going to do this thing? But God has designed something better for you. He has designed it from the beginning to have a spiritual mother or father to be a benefit for you and in your life. The design that God has given is to have fivefold pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists, apostles, to be working actively in your life, all having a role, but all working together in the local church, of which some of you have been predestined by God to become. Yeah, it's true. Some of you will be apostles. Some of you will be prophets. Some of you will be pastors, teachers, evangelists. And it's my job to bring you to that place of gripping that and running with it with all your strength for the glory of God. Spiritual fathers don't replace natural parents. We're not here to be your mommy and daddy in the natural. We're here to help supplement the lack that they have so that you have understanding to what it is. We're not here to be your friends, although we can be friends. And that's our heart. And those who are in relationship with me understands. Friendship comes at a cost. But we paid it for each other. We simply are given to mentor you guys with wisdom and to get you to think. Get you to think spiritually. Get you to think about what you're doing and what cause and effect is going to have on your life, on the situation of your children, on the situation of streams. Everything has an effect. When you're hurting and you keep it to yourself, the rest of the church is hurting because we deny the church the right to act like the way God has designed, and that is to love on you, to encourage you, to lift your arms up like Aaron and Hur did when Joshua was fighting the Moabites. Yeah, this is pretty heavy stuff, and when you start thinking about it, of which I know you guys haven't been thinking about, because you see, this government has been teaching you what to think, not how to think. God wants you to think about Him. He tells us to have our minds renewed. When? Once in a while? Daily. That means get into the Word, get our disciplines in place. Start thinking His thoughts. Start thinking about His plans. Start thinking about what He wants to do in your life. To change this world. We are not to be a substitute for your relationship to Jesus Christ. We will point you, and these guys know, I constantly point you to Jesus Christ. He gives us so that you can glean from our experience of the things that Jesus has led us through. Oh, Pastor, you're just too melodramatic. It's that serious. It really is that serious, because not only is the world going to hell in a handbasket, so's the church in this nation. But we have all this stuff. Just read Revelation. What did Jesus say to the churches? I'm so rich, and God says you're so poor. Are we praying? I believe we're praying, but I don't believe we're praying according to His will. I think we're praying according to our will, what we want. When was the last time you asked God, say, fill in the blanks, Dad, and see what I can do for you? We're to give instruction. We're to advise you. We're to counsel you. We're to give you guidance through the trials and tribulations, the stormy times of your life, and let you know that God's not only in there with you, He will lead you through. It is to build your faith in Him, not in us. My faith is in Him. When Satan attacked to take me out of here, my question to the leaders a couple of months previous to that was, will this ministry survive if the enemy attacks and takes me out? Will you survive when the storms and tribulations of your life come in to take you out? We should be constantly training someone to replace us, not because we're that great and anointed, but because there's a need that has to be filled in case something happens. That's called wisdom. I can't tell you the last time someone other than the leaders came to me and asked what they could do. Well, you just see, Pastor, you know, I can't get any kind of training. Don't you realize the training you get in the church you can use on your resume for a job? The best training doesn't cost you anything except all that you are and all that you have. If you want it. Jesus put it another way. What profits a man to save his soul and gain the world? Where are you in the scope of what God wants done in your life? Well, you got to understand, Pastor, I have kids to raise. You don't think He knows that? They're not yours, they're His. You still have a job to fulfill. Well, I'm called to be the best mother and father I can be. Praise God. But that's not the end. That's only the beginning of your responsibility to Him. And that's what I'm trying to get you to understand. Salvation is just the beginning. The reward of it will come at the end. But we have a job to do, church. And that job is to get planted in this community and begin to be effectual into it. And that requires each and every one of you to look at your life in such a way and say, what else do you want me to give up, God? Not what I can hold on to. What can I give to you, Father? Because He will take that sacrifice and He will turn it around and make it smell so sweet and so good. And you will go through a season of this sacrifice. And what we do is we're so childish, we think about our sacrifice and what we've done. You don't think God knows your sacrifice? I think about His sacrifice and what He's done for me. He sent His only Son to the cross to die for my sin, my rebellion against Him. I want to do all I possibly can for Him because He has shown me how much He loves me. And He loves the church all that much more. I'm just one person. And if we could get that into our hearts, We have to understand that in order for us to grow, remember this teaching I said, in order to get more things from God, we have to let go of the things that we're holding on to so we can get more. And then I took it and I said, we take that, we give it to somebody else so we can get more. And when God gets more, some of it stays with us, but we constantly give it away. That's the life of a believer. A make-believer keeps it. You are believers in Jesus Christ. You're awesome people. You just haven't realized it yet. But you start thinking about what He's acquired you for. To change nations. To reach people groups that have not heard yet the gospel. To give all your wealth away so that some could hear. That's what God is calling. Who are spiritual sons and daughters? The Latin word for sue, a Latin word sue, S-U, means to give birth or to give life to. And it's taken from the word son, the Latin word son. A father can give birth to a child, but not everyone will become a spiritual son and daughter. Some will be self-centered, disgruntled sheep, while others are ravenous wolves looking for whom they can devour. Others are just passing through one church to the next as butterflies, having no root, but expecting a blossom. But the one who seeks God, seeks the things of God, seeks the kingdom of God, seeks the man of God for their lives. This is a son and daughter. They're constantly pursuing. They're not constantly telling people what they want to do and how they're going to do it. They do it. They take that information that's given, that experience that's given, and they make it their own. And then what they do? They go do something about it. Pursuit tells what is going on within a person. The Bible says, no person after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Where's your Spirit? In you. I had a person say to me one time, Pastor, I know you're really disgruntled about me. I said, how do you know that? Well, I just saw the look on your face. The person didn't know I was sick. The person didn't know I was in trouble. Person didn't know anything. They were judging, making a judgment out of a physical reality that was not there. If you know my heart, you wouldn't have made that judgment. You would have said, what's going on? I noticed something isn't right. How are you feeling? That reveals how immature an individual is. Because all they're thinking about is themselves. They're not thinking about somebody else. And those who know me know I'm constantly thinking about you. How I can bless you. How I can be used for you. How I can get you to become motivated in the things of God. People who pursue don't spend a lot of time learning about stuff. They do the things of God. They learn to be what God has said, and then they do it. They solve the problems that they see because they become the answer through Jesus Christ. If you don't have anyone speaking into your life, and you may say, Pastor, you know, you got me handed off to this one. That's not the same thing as having a spiritual father or mother in your life. That's somebody who's working with you to get you to get on the right path. Whether it's in foundations, whether it's what we're studying about overcomers in trials and tribulations to be victorious living. It's all those things. If we do not prioritize God and His kingdom first, and we're still stuck on, well, I gotta earn a living, I still gotta do this, I still gotta do that, you miss the greater calling. You miss the greater calling. Because we're supernatural people, we should supernaturally want to be with the people of God, learning as much as we possibly can, and then putting it into practice as quickly as we can. The question here is, are you a son? Are you a daughter? You may be a child of God, but there's so much more. So much more into this relationship. Are you an abuser? Are you the one who's abusing the man and woman of God, where you just talk all these platitudes, but don't do anything with your life? Are you a son? Are you a daughter? Jesus is the perfect example of sonship. He did everything that the Father wanted him to do, and he did the Father's will. Do we do the Father's will, or are we just doing it to make points with me? You see, I have a relationship with him who tells me the intents and thoughts of what's going on in your heart. And I don't reveal it. I don't stigmatize you. I just understand what the Father is revealing. You see, where you're at, I was at one time. And you can talk to my daughter, and she'll tell you. She's been there when I had not eaten any breakfast. And she'd come up and sit next to me and not disturb me because I'm in prayer and I'm studying. I want to know what God's doing and I'm writing stuff out. And she does the same thing today. May frost her husband a little bit, but you know what? He's doing the same thing. It's the next generation. And I'm so proud. That's what I want to see with God's children. I want to see what your life's turning. You're not in fear or trepidation of what the world's going to throw at you. You take it and say, bring it on. Give me your best shot. I'm going through. Next week we're going to talk a little bit more about sonship and its pitfalls and some of the traps that the enemy sets in the lives of sons and daughters. The question here is, where are you? Do you consider yourself a son and a daughter? Because you see, I only recognize a few people as sons and daughters. Are they perfect? No. I'm working with them. Are they learning? Absolutely. Are they pursuing me? As best as they know how. Why? Because they want to see His kingdom be manifested on earth and see other souls' lives get saved and get healed and become useful in the hands of God. That's the heart of a father. I'm coming to the end of my life. I'm coming to the end of what I have to offer to you guys. It's up to you to make that determination. If you're going to take what God has given to you and see what He's given to you as a spiritual father to you, inheritance, He's given you a future, He's given you a hope, and He wants me to convey this to you. The world is not going to end December 21st. So I encourage you to pay your bills. But more importantly, chase after God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Give Him what no one else deserves. He deserves our very best because He gave us His very best. Amen? Father, we just thank You for Your Word, God. We thank You, God, that You have brought me back from the bed of sickness, Lord, and the attack of the enemy. And God, I still will preach with a fervency of heart for Your people to understand this great commission that You've given to us. I will continue to preach, Father, with passion, the vision that You've given to us in hopes that they will see and see it within them, this city that's on a hill, God, that is glowing in spite of the darkness that is around us, in spite of the storms that try to flip us out of our comfort zones. Father, we repent to You, God. We repent because of our slothfulness. We repent of our taking for granted, God, or even our ignorance that we've not sought you, God, and we put other things first before you. God, forgive us. Forgive us and help us become that which you've called in this day. For it is not by mistake that we're here today. It is by your design and by your purpose, God, that you have a church that would rise up worldwide without spot or wrinkle to welcome the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to go to the wedding feast while this world does its own thing. Father, bless your people. Cause them to ponder the things that was spoken today. May they hear with the ears of the Spirit and take full advantage of that which you've called into being. In Jesus' name, amen.